Good evening, everyone. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters, and our paradigm shifter tonight has indeed shifted paradigms since I think the early 70s when you, Danyon Brinkley, were struck by lightning. Was it early 70s, Danyon? And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It was September the 17th at 7:05 p.m., 1975.
Wow. Now, your recovery time, did I hear that you've actually had tremendous pain and recovery from all of that for years?
Well, I was dead for 28 minutes, completely paralyzed for 6 days, partially paralyzed for 7 months. It took 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself.
Oh, my.
And when you take more than 180,000 volts of electricity, excuse me, you have a tendency to take a long time to repair. And some of those damaged spots in my back and my lower back are beginning to become even a little more excruciating. But you have to also remember, Veronica, that lightning strike led to another lightning strike 3 years later, which led to open heart surgery 13 years later, which led to brain surgery 7 years later, which led to open heart surgery again 9 years later.
Well, it seems to me that your path is using your little body to challenge your whole concepts and beliefs. It must be excruciating a lot of the time, is it?
It is, and just maybe I never quite get it.
Oh,
so they say, look,
you're getting whopped over the head, huh?
You know, we better kill him again just so he stays on the right pathway.
Now, every time you've faced death or experienced death, you have a different level of near-death experience. What happens, or can you kind of encapsulate?
They're basically the same. Hmm. I mean, the third time was a little different, but you lift out of your body. You become cognizant of everything around you. You never realize how magnificent a spiritual being you are until you recapture your whole identity instead of the limited identity that you have put forth in order to grow, expand, and become a co-creator. You lift out of your body, you meet your relatives, everyone, and you have this being that's with you that creates this sense of safety. You travel down a tunnel, come into a place of light. You're met by beings of light. If you think you know it all now, wait till you're dead.
Well, tell me, did you dread the possibility of having another, or was it like going on an absolutely stunning vacation kind of expansion?
Well, the most important thing, Veronica, is this. Very few people are going to hell, because if I didn't go, nobody's going.
Oh, you were naughty, were you?
And number two, there is absolutely no such thing as death. It never happens in the conventional psychological way that we all have been taught religiously, institutionally, medically. That is all nonsense. You close your eyes on this side, and you open up to a beautiful, magnificent world in the next vibration, on the next dimension, and you begin to truly appreciate how wondrous you are, as opposed to all the things we've been told in our lives. And I think I made it my life's work to reduce the fear of death so that people are empowered to live the joy and the magnificence and the opportunity that this life was designed to give us. You know, often you hear we're here to suffer and this is hell on earth and all of those kinds of terms and but what it really is that's all nonsense. We choose to come and we're chosen to come. And we pick ways that we can best grow and expand to become as glorious and as dynamic as we can possibly be.
So when you went through to the other side more than once, what, five times, six times, something?
Three times.
Okay, so, well, that's a lot, actually. You were told when you were on the other side, am I right, that you had to come and do some specific thing? That was your soul's journey, your dharma. Is did did it amp up every time you went through? Did they say, okay, now add this or now add that?
And no, it stayed the same. It was spiritualistic capitalism because we were living in godless capitalism. Mm-hmm. And if anyone who read Saved by the Light, I said that America would collapse as a nation. Mm-hmm. Well, it did that in 2000. It really did it in 2001. But it finally came to be in our face in 2008, and we owe $16 trillion. Mm-hmm. So that came true, and it was that we have operated in a godless sense, the almighty dollar. Mm-hmm. Instead of covenants, we have contracts. And what a covenant is it's good for all parties.
Right.
And most people who've never been in combat think business is war. But it was always two things. Spiritualistic capitalism, that's why I write books and support the Twilight Brigade, mm-hmm. which is probably one of the largest end-of-life care volunteer programs for dying or passing veterans in America. Mm-hmm. And it was a methodology that I chose to create so that I could fulfill the second part of the vision, which was stress management centers. A method by which to create that sensation that is the other side. Because once you know there is another world, then everything is not so much focused in this world, and you begin to empower yourself and to truly live this life in joy and excitement. Hmm. Even though I go through a lot of hard things in my back and you know, just aches and pains and surgeries and all of that, this is still a rare privilege to live in this life, and I have to change people's mindset. And I won't say that I've done a magnificent job, but I'd have to say I've done a fairly good job over the last 35 years.
Well, when I read Saved by the Light, and I have to tell you, it was many years ago, so I don't quite remember all of it.
It only been about 12.
Oh, really?
That was so long ago.
Well, in any case, it seems longer for me. But anyway, it seems like I remember and was very, very excited about the descriptions of the clinics or healing centers that you were given.
Yeah, the centers. Yeah, they. I'm now finishing up the. I'm on bed number 14.
Oh.
I have a working model at the West Los Angeles VA, and I'm dealing with stress management because it was always stress. I didn't know then, Veronica, that stress was the number one killer.
Hmm.
So I decided that I would take this program and initiate it in women in combat who have been raped or sexually abused.
Wow. That's a pretty high stress area. Mm-hmm.
Well, because if it can work there, then it begins to show the whole world that the divine cares and is creating methodologies for us to once again reconnect ourselves to the heavens or to that place of understanding. And if you're a woman in combat, and you've been raped, which very few admit it, and you have so much spousal abuse in both in child abuse in the military, and I'm not going to blame it all on the military, but I'm going to blame most of it on the military, that these things have to be faced and dealt with, and it is creating a dislocation or separation between everybody and the people who fight for them, because they're not draftees. They're all just government employees.
Mm.
So I've worked that period. I'm working now. I'm in its final stages of putting this study together. And I was in Washington 2 weeks ago meeting with the people who would do the study, fund the study, and determining what the outcomes would be, how to determine outcomes.
Well, tell me this. What techniques do you use to bring people, for example, the raped women in the military and so on, to bring them to an awareness of their divinity? Do you use hypnotherapy? Do you use energy? does...
The system does it.
Okay.
I mean, it's anybody that's in Red of a Red Saved, I go, it's all eight steps. It's really seven steps. The first step and the last step is the same.
Okay.
A place where you begin to talk and you have conversations. The next is patterning your thoughts, like being able to interpret many things about a person, little quizzes, things that help determine your personality type, then brainwave, and then biofeedback.
Okay.
Because a person doesn't really understand that they have as much control over their life until they use biofeedback techniques and see the power of their mind in controlling certain things now digitally, but it gives a sense of control. And then the clinique, which is a bed that you lay in, it de-armatizes stress. It uses 9,000 field volts of static current.
You're giving them a near-death experience.
Well, it's a lot of people have had that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can go on the internet and see Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers in the early 90s, and not saying that Joan Rivers is cynical, but Joan Rivers in the early 90s went through this program.
Oh, really?
And she went to her daughter's house in California, and she saw where the daughter was laid out on the bed to wear. She saw her daughter taking a shower, and she was so amazed by that that we decided to call her daughter. And her daughter said, she said, "What were you doing 20 minutes ago?" "I was taking a shower." "What are you wearing?" And she described everything that was laying out on the bed, even the specific belt that Joan had bought for her.
Interesting.
And so going to heaven and going to your daughter's, she was wanting to see her husband. But then she realized that it was more important. She says she saw him, but it was more important to be near and around the people that she loved and who were here.
Hmm.
So she went to see Melissa.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
What brings people peace, Veronica, and what brings them a sense of accomplishment is completely different for every person. You know, I've had people who've had angels and people who've talked to their grandparents, people who've gone to places that, you know, like they were Frank Lloyd Wright's architect,
mm-hmm.
and describing these sounds and these tones and colors and geometrical configurations. But everybody comes back with a renewed sense of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what was meant to happen.
Hmm.
And then the quote-unquote prophecies, I never understood what all that was about. I mean, it's just that I would see it, and so much of that stuff has come true.
Yeah, the 13 prophecies, the 13 visions.
Yes, and 117 things, and we're just above 100.
Oh, wow.
But we're right now in the middle of one of the biggest ones. And that's Palestine and Israel dealing with Palestine becoming a Palestinian state.
Weren't you saying that you, in your visions, you saw Americans hollowed out because we've lost our spiritual flow, but you saw that in Israel as well, right?
Yeah, that we would collapse. We would become broke, which is where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that Israel would, you know, that Israel would, it's a democracy, but it would, we always think of it in a religious point of view. But what really happens is, look how many politicians for bribery, for rape, for how they're dealing with the Palestinians. And when you have refugee camps for 60 years, there is no way. And I think the biggest issue...
I mean, no way that can be spirit-centered, really.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the biggest issue is going to come is UN Resolution 244, which when they used this resolution to create the State of Israel, it clearly states that Jerusalem is an international city. It doesn't belong to the Israelites or the Israelis, mm-hmm. nor does it belong to the Palestinians. It's like a UNESCO site. Mm-hmm. Now, when this starts to come forth as the Palestinians are given the same status in the UN as the Vatican, we will have an oddly renewed vision of much of what's in the Revelation of John in the Bible. Hmm. I think it'll be pretty interesting.
Wow, that's kind of that's a little bit exciting, isn't it? That's positive.
Yeah, man, the end of time is going to be a blast.
Well, it's coming up really fast. I want to ask you something before we get to the end of time, which, of course, is fascinating. When you're working with people to help them find their divinity or their sense of meaning of their lives and so on, are there lots of spirit beings involved? Are you an interlocutor for beings on the other side, a medium kind of thing? Is there a lot of that involved?
I see a lot of that. I mean, I see beings all the time, and it's usually based on the intention or the thought pattern that other people are using. Mm-hmm. But I see that all the time. You know, seeing the dead and hearing voices is nothing new to me. It's been going on since 1975.
Wonderful. I experienced a lot of that too, but I think with your particular, you're very adept at all of this. And do you feel that those beings are that you see around, are they able to help us move through some of these huge earth plane dilemmas, some of the visions that you've had? Can we, you know what I mean? Do you bring them through?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're coming teams of seven, it's mm-hmm. you and six others.
Oh, wow.
And we have a collective consciousness that in different parts of the world, very rarely do you ever meet your true counterparts, but we set a certain harmonic vibration and we hold those thoughts. I mean, I call them prayers, but they're constant throughout the day. I pick a subject every week and then I maintain that subject every week and hold it, and I'm pretty sure that the groups that I come with pick that up, and they do it too. We're surrounded by dimensional and interdimensional beings, and what you don't realize is we are just as helpful to them as they are to us. Why do you think you sleep half your life?
Mm-hmm. So you can associate with them?
Yeah, you operate on dimensional realities. And this used to be Veronica Poppycock, but now we have theoretical quantum physics, or basically particle physics. And particle physics is proving that these so-called shamanistic states and these mystical or metaphysical states not only exist, they can be measured. Mm. So what we once called a folklore is now becoming conscious reality. And just look at this, time travel. We can take you apart, we just can't put you back together. I mean, that's their problem. And they are now doing time travel on a molecular level, taking a molecule, putting a nano tag on it, probably using a neutrino as the modifying tag, and transporting it across the room. In non-local energy. And what's happening in Switzerland, the magnificence of what's happening in Switzerland at CERN, such remarkable results are going to come from this. And I'll tell you something else. This new array, they just set up a new telescope array in Peru in the desert because it's so clear, that is taking pictures of nebulae and planets being born and giving it depth, whereas normally we usually see two-dimensional. These are being able to set up a background so we can see it in three- and four-dimensional perspectives, and what will come from that will be utterly amazing.
Hmm. Because we'll be able to understand it dimensionally? We will be able to actually understand the dimensions, I guess, eh?
We will be able to see them, recognize them, and measure them.
Well, that's exciting. Woohoo!
Oh, I can't wait, because but we get cooler every day. We get a little more controlling and a little more big brotherish. I mean, you can look what's happening in America now, and I always talked about this, that the rise of a third party and a revolution, and we're watching these occupancies and
what do you think of that? What do you think of that stuff, Danyon, the 99%?
I just think it's absolutely wonderful.
Good, so do I.
Because people have to start. We cannot allow, I look at your taxes, you have to keep every piece of paper, you have to prove every single dime. Mm-hmm. And the IRS cannot find $5 trillion. It said it collected it, but it didn't know what happened to it.
Isn't that interesting?
The Pentagon can't find $2 trillion, and they estimate that Medicare and Medicaid pays out $125 billion a year that they can't account for. Well, at that point, Veronica, at that point, what we need is a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
When what we are required to do, the government that is so-called protecting us,
mm-hmm.
the government that is so-called after our best interest, can't tell you where the money goes.
Mm-hmm.
The President Bush put $12 billion in $100 bills on an airplane and flew it to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what happened to that money.
Wow. Wowzer. So when you see in visions, we're talking about the end of time. We're talking about the revolution.
The beginning of a new time.
Yeah. Is this revolution possibly going to increase the divinity, work with the beings on the other side in such a way as to give us a more enlightened consciousness collectively?
Oh, absolutely. Because we're breaking from the mold.
Okay.
We're no longer going to trust. We don't trust our government. We don't trust our religions. We don't trust our bankers. We don't trust our institutions.
Mm-hmm.
We know that most of the cost-fixing prices, the stock market, we know all that is controlled and manipulated.
Right.
And at this particular period of time, this what the Maya call the ninth wave,
mm-hmm.
and that we're in it right now, there will be so much awakening, and people will take to the streets. What's going to happen is, what do you do? What do you do as a nation when people are rebelling against corporations who ship all our jobs overseas?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about, from a spiritual point of view, that we gave up our industrial base so we could buy stuff cheap on credit?
I know. Isn't that terrible?
It's insane. So, but at the end of every era, and we've now come to the era of a 25,920-year period,
mm-hmm.
According to the Maya, and here we are entering a new period. And they say this in the Dresden Codex. It describes that these things will occur. You know, what I focus on, Veronica, is end of life. And we've begun a campaign. The Twilight Brigade trains volunteers to be at the bedside because veterans are usually alienated and they have no one to talk to. And most people don't want to hear about war. So I started this organization 17 years ago. It's close to 6,000 members. It's in 22 states. Anyone can go and look at it. It's called The Twilight Brigade.
Okay.
And I have a campaign that's supporting three things. It's called the 1111campaign.net. And what it's about is people learning to volunteer. Because the number one cause of death in America, do you know what the number one cause of death in America is?
I'm not sure.
Birth.
I knew it was going to be smarter than I was right now.
Birth is the number one cause of death. And if you, and like when you're a kid, if you do number one, you're going to do number two.
Right.
So once you put that in your mindset and we begin to face it, instead of such a fear-based reality that we live in, that we embrace what is inevitable, and you will be amazed at how more knowledge you gain, and how when you see things, the brighter and the more wondrous it is when you look at it. I have absolutely no fear of death whatsoever. It doesn't even cross my mind.
Well, Daniel, you've been practicing where some of us haven't, right?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of practice in, but I've learned a lot of things about how to help people because I am the person that I'm helping. In 1975, they just sent me home. They didn't know what to do. No one had ever taken that much electricity and lived. Hmm. And I was, I could barely move, and it took me months to get up and start to walk and to feed myself. And I'd lived in different worlds then, Veronica. There, it wasn't so much. It took like 4 years before this was the main world I lived in.
Hmm.
And now I live in this world.
This is a world where you understand the purpose of your life and the meaning and the meaningfulness of each moment and your prayers and intentions. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And divinity.
And it's never what you do, it's why you do it. Never what you do, it's why you do it.
Hmm.
And if people start every day paying attention to why they're doing it, and they stay focused on that, then they become clearer.
Hmm.
And the more you do out of fear, the less power you gain from it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, and so I ask these three things to go to the Twilight Brigade. I need more volunteers because we're losing 80,000 veterans every 30 days.
Hmm.
And I need people to donate. You know, I always ask everybody, since when the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, we're in the 10th anniversary of the longest battle we have ever been in, war we've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 11-11-11. It only comes once every 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask people to please look at the Twilight Brigade. It's a three-day weekend program. Number two, donate. Help me. I don't take federal money. I won't take federal money, because that puts them in control. And number three, add the veterans to your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Prayers are powerful, powerful tools. Very powerful tools. And I know when people are in the end of their term here, they need that mental, emotional, and spiritual support of a person's prayers. And a lot of times people don't think their prayers matter, but their prayers do matter. I have seen the nature of prayer in action from another state of consciousness other than this one.
Mm-hmm.
So volunteer, donate, and pray are the three things I ask in the 11-11 campaign.
Wonderful. I also want to say, when you're working with, I wouldn't mind doing that too. So I'm going to look into it after we've finished our conversation. But it seems to me what you're saying or suggesting is that you would work with people who are in the process of dying or could be in the process of dying, so they recover their sense of self and go through with that. Is that it? A sense of self-love or a sense of
appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't care what the weather is, Veronica.
No, I know.
What people need to do is to know that their life had purpose.
Okay.
And this training teaches you how to listen. Most people never listen. And it's, how do you listen? How do you create open-ended questions so a person can, most of the time when someone is telling their life story, they find resolution, they find value, and then it's like celebrating what they're going through, because think of how simple this question is. And look where we'll take a conversation. What is your favorite song and why? And you can take a person lying in a bed to the happiest moments they ever had.
Aww.
And then you listen and live it with them.
Aww.
And you get them to tell you what it was, their first date, their first kiss, the first time they met their wife, the, you know, the, all the things that come with joy and happiness. And then you learn to explore those moments so they're not just lying in the bed in transition. Where they are is reliving the values of what was good in their life. And the other thing that people find is that they find a way to facilitate closure. One of the greatest crises we have in Western medicine is closure. The doctor says you have to leave the room, okay? And then they come out and tell you that they didn't make it. Well, the person that's leaving needs closure just as much as the people who stay behind. And we have to pay attention to that because it creates this emptiness within all of us that we never got to really say goodbye, or we never really got to say the things that we wanted to say.
And we could be born with that again, couldn't we? With that emptiness.
Yeah, and it stays. Some people, 10 years later, want to know if their mother's okay. Are they are they angry because their parents left them? I mean, when you become an orphan, Veronica, you're an orphan. It doesn't matter if you're 10 or 70.
Right.
You're still an orphan. And all those mindsets that never come into play when you have closure. And I'm going to try. I mean, this is what I chose to do. So I hope that everyone's listening will volunteer, donate, and or prayer. I would prefer they would do all three.
I don't blame you.
But then people can just pick the ones that they want to do. I just see this as an opportunity in the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, the longest battle we've had, the longest war we've ever been in, and the fact that 11-11-11, the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month of the 11th year, four fours. This is the greatest opportunity that we could have to make that contribution to help those people who are struggling with what they did in war. You know, war has a way of leaving its mark. And when you realize that there's 25 veterans committing suicide every day, you can imagine the pressure of poly brain trauma, TBI, post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, how would you like to be in combat and get raped?
Yeah, really. I mean, that's a bit much. Also, you said you do brain scans, do you? You said you do waves, brain waves?
I do what?
In the clinics, you also look at brain waves or brain patterns?
Yeah, you can study brain patterns and see where energy is focused.
Yeah. I just wondered if you do that as a part of the assessment or the intake, is knowing what's really blocking the flow.
Yeah. Well, you can see a lot of times, you know, if you do that, and you can always see alpha, theta, beta, delta, you know, where that's, where the series, how the brain's focusing, where the activity is, you know, and a lot of things are now mechanically done, and I think it's quite delightful that it's mechanically done, because it takes a lot of pressure off of trying to diagnose when everybody has a certain rhythm, and everybody has a certain tone and sound, like the Hindus call it the mantra. Everybody has this. Insulin's in the key of C. So we're like an orchestra. And once you determine those patterns of music, then you incorporate the subtext of that. And then you look at the esophageal tones and sounds, much like what was being done when you had the great singers and orators in early biblical, in early church. I think it was Pope Clement that took those sounds and frequencies out of the music because they were creating altered states of consciousness. You know, you love operates at 528 hertz. And if you can keep that constant that constant frequency playing in a person while they're processing through a lot of those issues, then love becomes the attaching energetic form to the mindset. And once that happens, you look for the goodness in things instead of letting things control you out of fear.
Do you use that information in your clinics or in your
I do.
Twilight Project?
I do.
How do you find the veterans? That might be a stupid question, but I'm just thinking, are you attracting more and more? And how is the volunteer, is it growing? Are your volunteer staff growing? And are your donations growing?
Both. That's why I need more money. Mm-hmm. I only grow it at the speed at which I can manage it. I'm not, I'm not a genius manager, but I have a great staff. Mm-hmm. But we in the baby boomer era, I mean, there were 76 million of us born between 1945 and 1967, mm-hmm. and there is another 5 million who have made it, 5 to 7 million who have migrated to this country. So that's like 81 million people that have this issue on their mind. Hmm. They are dealing with this issue.
Which is the issue of dying and...
And losing loved ones.
Yes.
How many people in this age group has not just lost someone or is about to lose someone, mm-hmm. or who knows someone who is losing someone? Our parents, our aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, friends. Mm-hmm. This is going to grow into such an enormous issue that the answers have to be found. Like when I had the first near-death experience, it didn't have a name. No one had ever heard of it. Mm-hmm. And now, because of cardiopulmonary resuscitation techniques and because of the advancement of science, and when it happened to me, if you didn't have oxygen to your brain for 5 minutes, that was it. You were going to be a vegetable. Mm-hmm. And now you're resuscitating people up to 3 hours.
Ooh. Wow, that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Up to 3 hours. And there, hypothermia has become a surgical technique.
Hmm. Well, that just reminds me of back to something I started talking about, was that there is much spirit support for our collective evolution, isn't there? Like that breaking out of the limitation of the 3D that I think near death does for people, right?
It's all around us.
Yeah.
It's how to tap into it. You know, people think that you think X-ray just appeared one day, and or was it discovered? Mm-hmm. Do you realize that 80,000 cell phone calls pass through you on an average day?
Ew.
80,000.
So what's your vision? Do you have a vision for the up and coming future? We talked about the end of time. Are you speaking of like the Mayan thing and the Mayan calendar in 2012, or the end of the 25,000, 26,000 year cycle?
Yes.
How do you perceive that it will be over the next 20 years or so?
Well, we will, if you look at the Mayans, this so-called December the 25th, 2012, that doesn't mean anything to a Mayan.
No.
They think that's a ridiculous thought. Okay? They do. You can ask any elder, and those dates mean nothing. And if time's going to end, if you look at, that's looking at the what's called the long calendar, mm-hmm. instead of what we call the agriculture calendar, which is 13 months, 244 days. But the Maya already have, and this will be of great insight, the next 51 years of the Mayan cycle, which starts October the 28th of this year.
Okay.
The next 51 years is about the rise of the feminine.
Yay!
Women will become, look at women learning to vote. Women are now can vote in Saudi Arabia in 2015. Mm-hmm. They are driving. They are not listening, you know, and mothers are going to quit sending their children to war. Mm. These things are going to happen. And it's the Maya say that's the rise of the feminine. So I think there'll be if we don't go to war in the next 6 months, whether Israel bombs Iran, and we use that ridiculous idea of some used car salesman going to assassinate an Arab ambassador. That's the most ridiculous stuff I ever heard in my life. And we fall, and they think that we would fall for that. You would never do that if you were going to assassinate an ambassador. Mm. You would never make a fall guy as big a fool as an alcoholic used car salesman. It's all in the news, and it's the most ridiculous thing I've heard in my life.
But it could tip everything. But you think there's hope that we can move through. Oh, I want to go back to the end of time. When is the end of time?
Well, when you watch we're at the end of, I think we're in the last 40 years of the 25,920-year precessional cycle.
Yes.
For our galaxy to rotate through the constellations, which is the precessional through the equinox, it takes 25,920 years. We're in that last period.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the last, 40 years of that precession, and then we enter a new one. But what is remarkable is the planetary alignment. I mean, we're going to discover so much next year because, number one, solar flare activity will become humongous. There will be tremendous solar flares. And then
what do you think will be the upshot of that? What will happen when we have a lot of solar flares?
Well, we'll learn to have to live without electricity.
Oh, my. Okay.
I mean, people need to have they have enough. You need 3 weeks' worth of food. You need water. You need soap. You need all the things. As though if you turned electricity off, where would you be?
Right. I understand that.
And so you think about that because many of those satellites are not shielded.
Mm-hmm.
These explosions are growing more and more. And then we will have a lot of atmospheric disturbances. You know, look at the type of, when these nine planets line up, we will certainly begin to believe that the astrological aspects of the influence of gravitational pull and flux will show itself when these planets line up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to happen next year. You know, it's the first, it hasn't done it in a million years.
Wow.
So we'll get to see a lot of what tides are and water levels raising. You know, these are the Earth and the galaxy are alive, Veronica.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It is alive and it's growing and evolving too.
And do you think in these big changes then are, for example, our calendar, our time-space organization is then all over the place and it's up to our intention and our direction? What would you say about that?
I'd agree with 100%.
Okay.
We chose to be here at this time because we are the ones who chose to hold the light to make the difference. I mean, this is our job. We probably come about every 25,000 years or 26,000 years because we can maintain. We will keep a very steady path,
mm-hmm.
and we will not be overthrown by fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing people learn about the Twilight Brigade when you join, as you're helping someone else deal with their loss, you also learn to deal with your own.
Yeah, I'm sure, eh?
And this is what's so important about this 11-11-11 campaign and why I want people to volunteer, donate, and pray.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the collective movement of this kind of thought pattern changes people's lives. And once your life begins to change, you see so much clearer the pathways we're supposed to take as opposed to the pathways we are taking.
Mm-hmm. I'm just watching, well, there's spirit support, there's a collective that's changing. You think all the systems are breaking down, right?
Well, I think it's time that they did because they're based on BS.
A little corruption here and there, huh?
Well, it's a complete fabricated lie.
I know.
I mean, look at it. How did we get $14 trillion in debt? $14 trillion. Figure, what's a million set up? A million seconds is 12 years.
Right.
A trillion seconds is 31,420 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, imagine that times 14.
Wow.
Is a new world order coming? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Will the dollar collapse? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It won't be as horrendous as the depression that we're in, but are we going to shift and change? Or are we going to keep being led around like sheep?
Well, and the change appears to be contagious right now, which is good, eh?
Well, look at the occupancy. Germans are now printing their own money again.
Mm.
You know, you look at the European common market, it is falling apart. The Germans are printing Deutschmarks. They're not going to use the European Union. They're not going to use the euro because they're carrying the biggest load.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do it. So we're watching exactly what the old prophets and Nostradamus and these people, and I never started out to Veronica to be Nostradamus. I just had never had a near-death experience, so I told too much. You know, I wouldn't have told all that stuff if I'd have known that it was going to turn me into Prophet Daniel.
Well, I thought you were pretty clear where there were changes seems like what you said was a vision, and then there were some differences in the way it came about. You seem to be pretty clear about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nothing was ever carved in stone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way it gave a 30-year period. And if we kept doing the same thing we were going to be doing, we would end up in the same place.
But we didn't keep doing the same, did we?
Well, but Vietnam became Afghanistan.
Right, that's true.
So us as warmongers, I mean, us in the concept of war, we're staying the same.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it took 2 years for it to happen as opposed to just before the turn of the century. It took till after the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those were already in place. It's just that the information didn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear stories of people telling me I make up new predictions all the time, but I don't. They're the same ones. And I've learned better how to interpret what happened when I was a 25-year-old idiot, and now I'm a 61-year-old fool. But I can interpret it quite a bit better now than I could then. We sit at the precipice of world war or world peace.
Right.
And we will, in this next year, leading up to the election cycle, we will be in either one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy. I always thought, or recently I've thought, we should have a team for president rather than one icon that we then start to coerce and rip apart, you know?
But he has no power.
I know. But he sure gets scapegoated.
The president, that's an illusionary job. I mean, he doesn't make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he does, and they let him think he does, but he doesn't make decisions. There's absolutely no promise that President Obama made that he has kept.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that's because of him?
No.
No. That's because of the powers that be, those forces that sit behind the throne, and manipulate what goes on.
But isn't that what Occupy Wall Street is all about? They're trying to get to those powers that be and say, we're not putting up with it anymore. Isn't that kind of what the underlying thing is?
I hope so.
Yeah.
But I think it's just anger.
Yeah.
We're showing that we know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're showing that we have become aware. We are mm-hmm. conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also showing that we're not going to take it.
Mm-hmm. Got to go back to the network.
We are not going to take this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens. And when they don't move on Wall Street because it's too much news, but police are breaking up these occupancies everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But when it starts, they know better than to go downtown to New York. First, New Yorkers don't play.
Mm-hmm.
And second, it will create a national news as opposed to breaking up these smaller groups.
Mm-hmm.
But this will continue to happen.
Good. We want that. I want it to happen.
I agree.
Well, I don't even want to let you go. You're so rich in information and interesting. But I know we wanted to acknowledge Fred Bell, who is a long-term friend of yours, and he recently passed.
Fred Bell is absolutely one of the most wonderful people, Veronica. Wherever he is now, I know he's studying something. I've known Fred for over 20 years. I have many a conversation with him. He's a brilliant guy, you know, and his much of that knowledge that he gained as a child, I have a feeling that he is one of those abductees. Mm-hmm. He never brought that up in conversations, but you could tell you can't be that smart that young.
And he was very multidimensionally oriented, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And mm-hmm. that can only come from, you know, that can only come from knowledge far beyond that most of us possess.
Mm-hmm. He did a terrific amount of healing work and scientific work, didn't he?
And you believe so much in the effects of ELF, low-frequency energetics that are affecting all of us. Mm-hmm. Just like I said about HARP, mm-hmm. you know, he was a big anti-HARP person, and people say that HARP can't exist, but if you go to 1964, you can see the patent arrays that it was patented based on affecting the ionos and the stratosphere to control weather patterns, and that's what the patent says.
Oh, wow,
so
really?
When you say that you can't control weather patterns and you can affect how to focus an energy using a certain vibration, how did they get a patent on it?
Mm-hmm. And who's they? Do we know?
Well, it was someone in the Johnson administration, a scientist. I think he was a NOAA scientist.
Hmm. Wow.
National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration.
So as you were saying earlier, a lot of what's going on right now requires that we wake up and wake up and wake up and realize the manipulations that have been going on and start yelling.
Believe nothing.
Okay.
Trust what you feel, and if it's on TV, it's not true.
Mm-hmm. And don't eat processed food.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a choice that you make. Mm-hmm. I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't eat it, but I'm not going to tell people what to do. Everybody chooses the way they want to kill themselves. They can kill themselves quickly or slowly. You know, when you eat beef, and there's nothing wrong with that except when you look at steroids and antibiotics and that you grow with the chicken that you eat. Mm-hmm. When you eat chicken, that chicken was grown in 10 weeks. Mm. And the chickens are so plump and so fat that they can't stand on their own legs because of what they feed them to make them hungry. And that chicken 10 weeks ago was an egg.
Mm. Are you a vegetarian, Danyon?
I eat fish.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we have to unfortunately close. So I want you to tell people how to be in touch with the Twilight, or in touch with you, but also the Twilight Brigade, because it's a really, it's a very exciting service that you're cultivating there, isn't it?
Well, it's I've been at this 26 years. It's the Twilight, Twilight Brigade, 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 Bradge.
I got it, Brigade.
Brigade, sorry, my brain's not working. But .com and 111111, if you go to any one of those and you spend just a couple of minutes looking, I'm sure there will be a calling. Mm-hmm. We have to step up to the plate, Veronica, mm-hmm. and we have to make that difference. And part of the mission of the Twilight Brigade is to think more unthinkable. Mm-hmm. And if you see what I see and what the Twilight Brigaders see, you will think more unthinkable also.
Wonderful. I'm going to check into it now. One final thing. I know we're a little bit over time, but they'll give us a little forgiveness here. What is the name of your new book? We're very excited about that, and we haven't even mentioned it.
Well, the last book was Secrets of the Light. I wrote the trilogy, Saved by the Light and Peace in the Light and the Secrets. This new book is 10 Things You Need to Know before you go.
10 things you need to know before you go. Good title.
Yeah, but it creates so many ways that I can go. You know, first you got to know who you are, and second you got to know where you're going.
Okay.
And as I've constructed these chapters, it has a lot of funniness to it, because the dying can teach you so much about living. And with 27,000 hours at the bedside, and I've been with 2,004 people as they were leaving this world, and I've been with 417 taking their last breath, I've asked the right questions. And I want people to take from what I've learned from the bedside and avoid a lot of unnecessary stuff in their lives at the present. And I think that that's what this book is all about.
Wonderful.
How to live life happily.
That's so wonderful. Well, I thank you so much for the time you've spent with us and for the inspiration you've shared. And
Well, I hope I wasn't too boring, and I want to thank you for every day that you get together and put this show together. I want to thank, was it Rob or Bob?
Bob.
I want to thank Bob for getting your notes and being charming and handsome, and I thank your network.
Thank
and
you.
And God
so
bless Fred Bell.
And God bless Fred Bell. I hope you hear from him.
Well, I can, I can focus on that.
Yeah.
He's having way too much fun to be bothered with the earth plane, though. Trust me, Veronica.
He might be excited to give a few infusions here and there.
Once you leave this place, you forget it.
Oh, really?
Trust me.
Well, Danyon Brinkley, I thank you so much for being on with me, and hopefully we'll be in touch again. Keep going with the Twilight Brigade.
Yeah, please, people, volunteer, donate, and pray, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for listening. That was a very inspiring talk for me, anyway, with Danyon Brinkley of danyonbrinkley.com. And he wrote a book years ago, Saved by the Light, and then he wrote a trilogy on that. But his work, because of his near-death experiences, is very much with people who are making that passage, the dying passage. And he's chosen people who've been to war, especially women who've been raped and have been to war. So it's a very interesting thing. It's called the Twilight Brigade, and he really recommends that we all get involved, donate, and pray a lot. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, call me or email me if you have feedback on the show, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. And I'd love to hear from you and other suggested guests as well, or a session with me. Thank you so much for listening. Good night and many blessings.